getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about the political divide and if it should divide your marriage. Now, I've lived in the US for over 30 years now. I'm a naturalized citizen. I do vote here and I do follow politics. From my perspective, there's always been political differences, and in presidential election years, it does get very heated. You know, I think back to Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Al Gore and Obama and John McCain and Mitt Romney. But I don't think there has ever been as divisive a climate post-election as we have now. And I see that divisiveness spilling over to friendships and intimate relationships. In a recent poll from a company called Wakefield Research, they're a polling company, nearly 25% of respondents said that they thought that their spouse, that they had fought with their spouse or partner over politics since President Trump was elected. I've seen dating profiles that state not to contact the person if you voted in a specific way. So if you're a Democrat and your spouse is a Republican, is your relationship doomed? Should a political difference influence your decision to end your marriage? Are there strategies for bridging that divide? Well, joining us today for this important conversation is life coach Christine Ketterpol. Christine specializes in helping people find clarity and confidence in deciding whether to end their marriage. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, welcome, Mandy. Great to be here.
I'm so glad you could join us. Just for our listeners, just to before we really dive into any questions and get talking about this, I did want to say we're not going to be debating the ins and outs of specific political issues today. This is very much focused on, you know, if there are ways to bridge that political divide. Christine, I was wondering if we could start. Let me start by asking you if you have thoughts on why you think this current political era is so divisive. What has changed from 10 years ago or 20 years ago?
Well, I think definitely social media. I mean, now there's definitely much more opportunity to really hear what people are thinking and saying. And there's a lot of times no filters because people have the freedom of just saying what they want online. And I think the reason for this becoming such a divide, not just within marriages, but communities and friendships and intimate relationships, like you mentioned, is because there's such opposing views. And the most challenging part of this is how do we respect each other's views and political ways of seeing the world without allowing it to truthfully end our relationships.
Right. I think it's very difficult. And I like your thought there. So the social media is actually exposing us to more views in a way that's positive because it broadens your perspective, or like, wow, people think that way. It hadn't occurred to me that people might think that way. But at the same time, it creates challenges.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, it's different. Probably we're saying things on social media that we wouldn't be saying straight to somebody's face because right. We feel the freedom of just, you know, being in the moment without sort of a filter to really have an ability to be kind and a little bit more understanding that not everybody feels the way you do. And when it comes to marriages, boy, this is something that I think is a rude awakening in a lot of people's lives because, you know, before the divide was not so strong, but now it's truly becoming an issue, especially when there's children involved and parenting and, you know, the way that people are starting to have these conversations. They're turning into fights. They're turning into things that are becoming charged enough where the word divorce is starting to pop up.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to talk a lot more about that. I mean, I just was thinking as I was prepping this, you know, my own perspective on why things might be different now. And I think for me, this last election, what I thought of was I thought that a lot of people were voting based on values, whereas other people are voting on policy issues. And I think if you're a values voter, it's really hard to get past those values issues down to being able to debate or to think about policy issues. So if your candidate has different values than you, I think it makes it harder even to accept or to even like be able to discuss these things.
Yes, I mean, and I think at the end of the day, that's the question. How can you have a, what I like to call a real and raw conversation? Because it's not about sometimes trying to change the other person's mind. It's really about understanding where they're coming from. They have a reason for thinking or believing or feeling the way that they do. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all sit down and just have a discussion, have a conversation?
So one of the pieces that I read about trying to bridge the divide is to try and approach those discussions from a mindset of you're not trying to prove that you're right.
Yes. Dr. Phil said something great. He said, would you like to be right or like to be happy?
Oh.
And then I have always remembered that, because I do believe that when, you know, you have this rub, like I like to call, between two people, both of you putting on the boxing gloves and really deciding to fight it out, you're both going to end up bloodied. And what's the point of that? That doesn't solve anything.
So, yeah. So on these, if you're trying to understand your partner's political views, then you're not trying to convert them to your views, but you're trying to say to them, well, tell me more about why you think that this policy would work. What do you like about this policy? And ask questions, but not to sort of say, well, you're wrong about that, or, you know, my way is the right way.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing that now there's an organization called Better Angels, and they're out there driving across the country trying to do the exact thing that we are discussing. You know, how can we get communities back together? How can we make America united again? To start listening and understanding that each of them have a valid point for thinking the way that they do. Now, it doesn't mean they can't change their mind, but a discussion is a wonderful way to start opening up more doors rather than closing them.
Right. And so if you had that discussion with your partner, you can get to understanding or see if their values are aligned, but you have a difference on policy approach.
Yeah, and honestly, Mandy, it takes work, right? It takes effort. It's so much easier to have a fight over whether Fox or CNN should be on the television.
Right.
It's so much easier to do that than it is to really sit down, because it creates a lot of anxiety in people when they feel vulnerable. And having a conversation sometimes means that you are vulnerable to anxiety and to being uncomfortable.
So, you know, recently in June, there was the shooting at the congressional baseball game. And following that, we had a lot of our political leaders speaking about how the political divide had fueled that and what they thought that they could do differently. I had an interview with Newt Gingrich, who said that with hindsight, he thought that he should tone down some of his language. Paul Ryan suggested that Republicans and Democrats should go have meals with each other. So when you're talking about getting spouses to have a conversation about political issues, and I'm wondering if maybe that's one of the helpful tools that you would recommend, is like turn the TV off and sit down and have dinner.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the elephant in the room. I mean, let's really talk about what is going on. And in reality, a lot of times even deeper issues. Sometimes saying that we're on different sides of the political spectrum is just the beginning of really what's going on. And I think if people opened up to even having this political conversation, they would find out that maybe there's a lot of other issues that need to come out as well.
Well, that's kind of scary.
It's scary, but it takes people to a different level, right? It takes relationships to a different level when you can really sit down and say, I'm not happy with this. This is what's upsetting me. When we start having what I call real and raw conversations, it starts the path to becoming healthy in our relationships instead of moaning and groaning all the time that the relationship isn't what they want it to be.
Okay, so let's say like you would encourage, it sounds like you would encourage spouses to start having a conversation about the political differences and maybe do that over dinner. I've always heard and felt like it's a lot harder for people to get up and walk away mid-meal. So you kind of, you've got a captive audience there. You do have to kind of follow through and try and finish the conversation. But what about some other tips for how you talk? How do you have that conversation? Real sort of nitty-gritty tips, mm-hmm. like...
Well, I do think, you know, it needs to be well thought out. I mean, I think the person, usually and sometimes in a relationship, there's one person that's more upset than the other. And so, or more, you know, wanting to have a conversation. So there's a way to prepare for that conversation first to make sure what you're exactly saying, that all of the settings in the environment are correct, and to lay down some ground rules. No cell phones. You know, make sure the kids are either out of the house or you're in a place where you're not going to be disturbed. Like you said, you know, you're not able to get up and walk away just because you're not happy with what I said. Finding ways to have the conversation at a time where everybody is not tired after a long day or, you know, something happened and the mind is someplace else. I mean, there's certain ways to prepare for it like you would anything else, like a job interview, right?
Okay.
Prepare for a job interview, you're going to make sure that you're at your best.
Right. So, and I also thought like some basic conflict resolution ground rules, such as no name calling. So, for example, saying to him, well, you're just a bleeding liberal, or even, oh yeah, go side with the Trump supporters. Those labels carry so many assumed beliefs and characteristics and choices that may not be applicable to the other person. So I think, you know, maybe if you could make a rule that you're not going to call each other, put labels on each other, because that's a barrier to really having an open conversation and truly understanding the other person's perspective.
You know, Oprah said it best, and anytime I have a conversation, whether it's with my daughter, with my significant other, with my best friend, there's three questions that she said she realized through all her 30,000 interviews. And it's, do you hear me? Do you see me? And does what I say matter? And okay. By focusing on those three questions, when you're listening to somebody else, it's important to also, like what you're saying, repeat back, you know, so is this exactly, this is what I heard, is this what you mean?
Right, so that reflective listening.
Yes, because then you're really having a real and raw conversation, and it's not easy. I'm not going to say that it's something that is simple to do, but that doesn't mean it's not possible.
And while you're having that conversation, look and see if, oh, okay, well, this is a nugget that I can agree with you on.
Right.
You know, and actually verbalize that and say, okay, well, yeah, you know, I just heard you say that you think that XYZ, or you don't like Obamacare because of XYZ. I would agree with you on that issue. That's something that I don't care about.
Yeah, it's all about compromise and not compromising your values or your truths. But, you know, making some headway so there's a middle ground that both of you can stand on. Because when you're fighting, you think about boxing, you know, you're on the other side of the ring. I mean, you're not finding a way to really come together to agree. And when it's a marriage, boy, that's tough. I mean, it's different than having an in-law or somebody where you're not living with somebody and spending your life with them. But when it's a marriage, you know, you're waking up with somebody day in and day out. And so this is something that really needs to be addressed before it turns into a bloodbath.
Well, I was even thinking, Christine, as you were talking earlier, like, you know, if the CNN is on in the living room and you just cannot stand that, you're going to remove yourself and maybe go somewhere else and watch Fox News or something else. But that creates a divide. That just creates a deeper divide.
It can or it can't. I mean, I think at the end of the day, if you make a you make some ground rules again and say, you know what, you know, when I walk out, it's not against you. It's just that I prefer not to be there, so I'm just going to go someplace else. Okay. It's a lot about perspective and making sure that the other person is clear and understanding for the reason for your action, and that it's not personal. We start taking stuff so personally.
Yes.
And that's when there's sometimes a point of no return, because it just spirals down into a really dark place that becomes very difficult to get out of.
Mm. Well, Christine, I love the tips that you're sharing, and we're going to come back and talk more. I have a couple of big questions to ask you. But I just want to take a short break.
We all know how overwhelming and ridiculously expensive divorce can be, which is why I want to share with you an easy and convenient way to sell your engagement ring. Worthy.com is an online auction platform designed to help women across the country sell unwanted valuables like engagement rings in a safe and transparent way. Worthy.com provides complimentary shipping, insurance, and grading as part of their auction process. And the best part? Worthy allows you to set the minimum price for your item. If the highest bid comes in under that minimum and you decide not to sell your ring, they'll send it back to you, fully insured and at no loss to you. Worthy doesn't make any money on the sale unless you do. And in an industry with so much markup and barely any regulation, it's great to have a company like Worthy protecting your interests and guiding you through the process of selling old jewelry. Are you ready to turn your ring into a new adventure? Join the many women who are moving forward and renewing themselves. You can go back to school, pay off your debts, and even go on a fun getaway with the money you get from selling your ring on Worthy.com. Get the fresh start you deserve.
Listeners, I want to thank you for listening to us today. My guest for this conversation is life coach Christine Katapal, and we are talking about today's environment and the political divide and the impact that that has on many marriages. Christine specializes in helping people to find clarity and confidence in deciding whether to end their marriage. And Christine, you have a free guide to offer our listeners.
I do. You know, I'm somebody who believes that you can have both. You can have this big decision to make and you can have peace. So if you go to my website, it's www.emergenowcoaching.com. My free guide is 5 small ways to bring peace back into your life, even though I have this big decision to make.
Hmm. Well, that sounds like a great resource for our listeners, and especially if this is a conflict that's ringing true for them.
Yes, peace is a choice. It's always a choice. And even if it's, you know, even if you're fighting in your marriage, you can still choose to always stand in peace. And that's what I want to help people do, because if you're stuck on whether deciding whether to leave or stay in your marriage, it can be a very turbulent time.
Oh, yes, I know people can really struggle with that for many, many years even.
Yes.
So let's get back to talking about the political divide. And I wanted to discuss now whether just not talking about it is an effective tool, an effective strategy.
I guess it can be, although I have a feeling that when you don't talk about something, it gets worse and not better.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you want to find somebody who you can confide in and you feel that you can't talk to your spouse about it and you want to deal with that situation on your own, I think that's perfectly fine. I think it's harder because I think it ends up rippling out to a lot of other issues that maybe you're not able to talk about as well.
Right.
So I probably strongly encourage people to have that discussion. But if it seems like it's an off limits topic, then 100%, you know, find somebody else that you can talk to about it so that you can start making peace with the fact that you can't talk about it with your spouse.
Right. So I was thinking that there's a difference between having a conversation with your spouse about their political beliefs and their political stances and understanding where they are and then deciding consciously, you know what, I accept our differences. We just are not going to talk about it anymore.
Right.
As opposed to making a decision on your own and really just saying, this always causes problems when we try and talk about it, so I'm just not going to discuss it. It's like drawing a sealing that off or putting it in another room, closing the door. And you make your own decision not to discuss it, but you're really withdrawing from that whole arena. And like you said, I worry that, like any other issue that spouses can't talk about, that it's festers and it squishes out somewhere else, and those unresolved issues do have a tendency of driving a wedge between you, and that creates a barrier to intimacy.
It can, and I think the biggest piece of that is that you need to absolutely make peace with that. It can't be something that you keep going back to and, like you said, festering inside of you. It has to be something that you say, you know what, this is something that we cannot discuss, and that's okay, but there's so many other things, so I'm going to focus on those things instead.
I think, I mean, the trends that would start to worry me is if it meant that you had, if say your spouse was very politically active and they started to make different friends who you felt that you didn't have anything in common with, and they start to do separate activities, attending more political rallies, political meetings, as you do more and more things separately, that can increase the distance between the two of you and make you feel like you're growing apart.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen so many marriages that exist in so many different ways. And I think the beauty about any relationship is that you can choose the relationship that you want with the other person. And together, if you make a decision that this is the way we're going to live our lives together, that's perfectly fine. I mean, I've seen people who are married but go on separate vacations because one person likes to travel one place, the other person likes to travel the other. So I think at the end of the day, the wonderful thing is that everybody has the power to choose the relationship that they want. And by having these real and raw conversations, then you can create that relationship together.
Well, that's a really encouraging message. And I think that it's important for us all to remember, like, marriages are, as you said, they come in many shapes and sizes. There's not one size fits all. And it really is about what will work for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, and when you hinted at this at the beginning when we were talking, what if you start these political discussions and really what is apparent is that this is a difference that's been there for a long time, and that it's really indicative of a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you've managed to kind of tolerate it for years. What happens then? Like, what if I don't know. I'm trying to stay away from political issues. But
right. Like, well, when I have clients, I encourage them, and they're conflicted whether to stay or leave their marriage. I encourage them to think of three non-negotiables. What are three things that you absolutely want to have in a relationship that you're not willing to budge on, you're not willing to compromise. And that usually provides some clarity for people to see that, wow, these three things are things that I want and they're there, or these three things are things that I really want and one of them is not there. You know, it could be sex, because at a lot of times in our lives, you know, our sexual drive changes. And if that's a big deal for one person and not the other, then that can cause conflict. So when you start thinking about your three non-negotiables, it opens up some ways for you to start seeing your relationship as whether this is something you really want to have in your life or not.
Right. And so then this political divide could be a lightning rod or a spotlight on these really non-negotiables that have been hidden from view for all of these years.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think this political divide that's occurring is a gateway to really having other discussions that may surprise you and may really open up your eyes to something that, like you said, Mandy, that you just weren't seeing before.
So I think what we're saying there, Christine, is, it, you know, if somebody is deciding to end their marriage and it's really sparked by this political decision, the political divide or the political climate, they're not ending it because of the political climate. They're actually choosing to end it because there were more fundamental issues in the marriage, in the relationship, that have been there for a long time, that really have gotten to the point where they can't be resolved and they're no longer acceptable.
Yes, and that's a hard pill to swallow, right? I mean, it's hard when you realize that the person that you've been with for many of my clients for quite a long time is no longer the person that they choose to be with. And I think the hardest part is when people leave without really having the clarity and confidence. I mean, my mission as a coach is to help men and women make their decision with clarity and confidence so they don't have the regret afterwards. They're not feeling guilty. They know that they gave it their all, and they know that they made this decision with a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of energy. It wasn't something that was just as spontaneous, I'm out of here or I'm done. Because most of my clients have spent 7 to 10 years just thinking about whether they want to be in the marriage anymore or not.
Right, right. So, and yes, I like when I'm working with people on making this decision, I would say, you know, we want you to be absolutely certain that you're making the right decision and that it's not going to be something that you regret in 5, 10 years time.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to say, you know, it's the president's fault that my marriage ended. It's important to take ownership that you, despite whatever was happening, this was a choice that you made with what you felt was best at the time.
Right. I love that comment. We can't blame it on the president, whoever he is.
Right.
Or she is.
Or she is.
Well, Christine, we're almost up on time. Do you have one more tip for our listeners on how they could work to bridge the political divide in their relationships?
There's a great article that I'm going to be putting on my website, and it's about how to talk to your political partner. And they actually have two separate podcasts to listen to. One is for talking to the quote-unquote Reds, and the other one is to talk to the Blues. And I encourage people to listen to that so they can get some clarity on maybe understanding how to have this conversation. It's best to, like I said, prepare for that conversation and realize that peace is always a choice, even when you have this quote-unquote great divide in your marriage. When you go onto my website, www.emergenowcoaching.com, and download my free guide, it'll give you 5 ways when you're caught up in the conflict and the chaos to find a way to bring peace back into your life. Because I do believe that even when all this chaos is around you and uncertainty and frustration and fears, that you can still have a day of peace. My motto is live your life by choice and not by chance. And hope is wonderful, but it's not an effective strategy. We can't keep hoping that things will change. I mean, hoping is great, but the reality is hope is not something that's going to get you to where you want to be. It has to be clear choices with confidence that will take you towards what you want and the life that you want to live.
Well, that sounds very empowering, Christine.
That's exactly what I want people to do, is to be empowered to live their best life today, because today is all that you have.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Christine.
I am grateful to be here. Thank you so much, Mandy, and thanks to all your listeners. And again, you know, I do offer a free session if they want to sign up on my website, and I'll gladly have a conversation with them about coaching and ways to make clearer choices with confidence.
Great. Listeners, my guest today for this conversation is life coach Christine Katapal. Christine specializes in helping people to find clarity and confidence to decide whether they should end their marriage. I know that some of you may be struggling with this really tough decision or situation right now, and I hope that Christine and I have given you some tools that you can use to bring clarity and peace. You certainly want to avoid breaking up and then finding next presidential election year, the environment has changed, the issues have changed, and you and your ex can now talk again. But maybe for some people that is a good strategy. That's the way to resolve, and that's the marriage that works for you. So remember, you know, the marriage is very individual, and you get to build the relationship that works for you both. At the same time, if the political divide is the symptom of more deep-rooted issues and ongoing problems, then perhaps this is the certainty that you've been searching for. I want to thank you for listening. Remember to check out my blog at sincemydivorce.com. You'll find a synopsis of the show on there. And I hope you'll join us again next time for more conversations about divorce. I'm Mandy Walker.